tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join us here. Join me as we together study the Word of God. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we're back at it again here on Monday, and back at teaching the Word of God, verse by verse. We're going to hear an older sermon now, a couple of years ago. See, I'm grateful for this archive that I have. And if you go to, if you're interested in hearing more of these programs, more of these sermons and Bible teachings, you can go to WGODradio.com. There's a link on there. This is prior broadcasts. And then there's another link that you click. And from there, you'll see over 10 years worth of programs now. So sometimes in between sermons where we're at here at the church, I will pull up one of these archives, one of these older programs, and play it on the radio here. And that's what you're going to hear today. This sermon is entitled, So You're an Agnostic, Are You? That kills me when I hear that, agnostic. So we're going to look at what the word means in Greek and stop and think about it. So you're an agnostic. So many people take that position today, and that's what they call themselves. So that'll be our launching point for today. We'll probably play the rest of this and on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, you'll hear the sermon I just preached yesterday at Island. And that is, no one can buy or sell. And so that's where we're at. That's what's going on this week. I'd love to see you at Island Community Church this Wednesday night. We're looking at this video, is Israel, Islam, and Armageddon, and talking about that afterwards. So 30 minutes of looking at this video and then discussing that. We are right at the Battle of Armageddon in my Wednesday night verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Revelation. And just taking a couple weeks to look at that. So that's going on Wednesday. I will be down in the Keys later this week performing the wedding for my good friend, Captain Jim Ross. So we have a guest speaker, my associate pastor, Darren Solana, preaching this coming weekend. So, okay, that's what's going on here in this ministry. Let's hear this word now. So you're an agnostic, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday. If you want to hear that or download it now from yesterday, you can do that. Again, go to my website, WGODradio.com. Or the Facebook page, WGOD Radio, and you'll see it up there. No one can buy or sell.
If you would please, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we'll pick it up on verse 13. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. We're traveling on the road to Emmaus. I see Ron smiling. That's one of our favorite texts, isn't it, Ron? Nothing like resurrection morning when we get to preach again. One of my certainly favorite texts. And all the Bible is Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. Now, so it was when they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are gloomy? So then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem? And that you have not known these things that's happened here these days? So he answered to them, what things? That's the most comical verse in all the Bible. Here's the Son of God asking him this. Don't you know what's gone on here? Jesus goes, what things? Like he didn't know. So they said to him, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those that are with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So then he said to them, Oh, fools, foolish and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, these men ended up being agnostic because the Savior of the world turned out to be something that they didn't expect. So you're an agnostic. That's what I want to look at here today. Let me say that if you really knew what the word meant, you wouldn't call yourself that anymore. Believe me. Mr. Agnostic, do you really know what the word means? A in Greek means without or no. It's a negative in front of a word. The word gnosis means knowledge. So you put it together and what do you have? Stupid. Sorry, but stupid. Jesus said, oh, you slow of heart. That's the Greek word for being retarded. He called them retarded. These guys were agnostic. They turned and morphed into agnostics. When things didn't work out the way that they thought, when Jesus ended up being not someone that they thought, they didn't expect him to die. They expected him to take over as ruler. They expected him to overthrow Rome. And Jesus didn't do what they expected him to. So now they are legitimate, without faith, agnostic. Oh, you slow of heart to believe. But imagine introducing yourself that way, right? We actually have a Bob here. I've got written down, hi, I'm Bob. And you say, hi, I'm stupid. Pleased to meet you. Does that make you mad as a self-proclaimed agnostic? It better make you mad. That's my point. I'm trying to make you mad. It proves my point all the more is you better find out more about something before you start proclaiming it out of your mouth, because that would make you a fool. Like Gloria Steinem wearing the t-shirt, I am proud to have an abortion, with a huge smile on her face. Now, if you realize what you've done, you'd wipe that smile off your face really fast, because it's not cool that you've had an abortion. It's evil that you've had an abortion. It's not cool. You're a fool. Wipe the smile off your face. Now, what the agnostic means to say about his spiritual condition is, well, I'm not so sure. Prove it to me about the one named Jesus. That's what these guys were here in Luke 24. Agnostics in that sense. I'm not so sure anymore. Prove it to me about the one named Jesus. Okay, right on, buddy. I accept that challenge. All right, now, church, please take note how I do this. Because just as we saw that Jesus did it the very same way, we're going to do it his way. When Jesus confronted agnostics, he proved himself through the word of God. So if you are an agnostic, I'm talking to you. If you know someone who is agnostic, I'm talking to you. What follows now is the type of conversation that I would have with an agnostic, which would be, let me ask the question, do you know what the word prophecy means? This is how you got to steer a conversation, just like Jesus did, beginning with Moses and the prophets. When Jesus was confronted with agnostics or unbelievers, he taught Bible prophecy. So must you do the same thing as him. So I would ask the person, do you know what prophecy is, what it means? Do you know why the word prophecy is in the Bible? First, let me say it's not in the Bible so that authors can profit from it, like some of your friends believe probably and told you. Here's a few definitions for prophecy. Number one, the foretelling or the prediction of what is to come. Number two, something that is declared by a prophet, especially a divinely inspired prediction. A divinely inspired prediction. Number three, a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. Let me read those again. The foretelling or prediction of what is to come. Something that is declared by a prophet, especially a divinely inspired prediction. And number three, a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. In simple layman's terms, a prophecy is something that is spoken in utterance of something claimed to be fact before it happened. Before it happens. And that is what sets this book apart from everything else. And why you need to believe and take heart in everything that God has said to you in his book. Because you, Mr. Agnostic, who I'm talking to, you don't have a lot of time. There is only one religious book that would dare put its reputation on the line and predict the future. And that is the Word of God. Because once something doesn't come to pass, then you can toss the book out, right? If there's inaccuracies in the Bible, inaccuracies, don't believe it. Like this. This is Esposito's Book of Prophecy. Here it is. I got my Karnak hat on. The 35th president of the United States will be a war hero, and his three sons will be war hero. He will live a long life and die of a heart attack. Now, if I wrote a book of prophecy on John F. Kennedy that started with that statement, what would you do with it? Come on, throw it out. Now, how about this? Now, you're talking to an agnostic here. How about this, Esposito's Book of Prophecy? What would you do if I had a book that said this? A king from Virginia will arise, and he'll be the first king of a new nation. He'll be the general of an army. And then my book continues. And 15 kings later, another king will arise from Kentucky, and he will set the captives free and die before his time. He will die in a booth. Buy a booth. Now, if you read that, which was guaranteed written 700 years before it happened, would my book now have your attention? If it wouldn't, then you are being intellectually dishonest. And you're not an agnostic. At least not an, as you use the word. No, you're not skeptic. I'll say you are a true agnostic, and that would be stupid. Stupid enough to end up in hell because you're ticked off that God loves you. Let's clear the smoke here, friends. You're ticked off that God loves you, so you're going to go to hell. Don't tell me that book wouldn't interest you if that was written 700 years before it happened. I don't believe you. You're being dishonest to me. The real thing is you refuse to bow the knee and call Jesus Christ Lord. You're not an agnostic. You don't want to give up your sin. No, you're not an agnostic. You're not like these three on the road to Emmaus. So did you know that God's word is explicitly clear as my imaginary but true book was? Except his book is real. Meaning, he is God, you are a sinner, the wages of sin is death, and you need help, and you need it fast. Friend, you're a sinner, and you could die tomorrow. People die all the time. How many here has ever known anyone that's died? Now, back to the subject of prophecy. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but others are, and they've run the numbers. And my numbers have been corrected since speaking of this in the past. So let's talk about numbers. Simple, secular numbers. That is, the odds of one person, any one person, fulfilling the description of something explicitly written about them before the fact. That's prophecy. Now remember, the odds would grow exponentially after two. For instance, the odds, all right, not religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking odds. You know, Jimmy the Greek, Las Vegas, point spreads, over-unders, gambling, sports, odds. We're not even talking religion. We're talking numbers here. Money line. The odds of fulfilling three prophecies is equivalent of hitting the pick six lotto every Saturday night from your 18th birthday till your 85th birthday. Every Saturday night. You get in that little, what is it? Is it yellow? That last ball that comes up? What's it called again? The crazy thing worth $1 billion every week? Powerball. I think the ball's yellow. That's every week of your life from 18 to 85, you getting all five and getting that yellow number every week as long as you live from 18 to 85. That's the odds of one person fulfilling three things written about them before it happens. And you're an agnostic. Have I got your attention now? Let me take you on a short trek through the Word of God. And let me share with you that indeed there is a God, and that he sent his Son into this world to redeem you back to him for the sole purpose of this. Now, before I go further, let me anticipate a possible objection. These are some objections you would run into as you're doing this. Perhaps you would say that Christians after the fact have gone in and altered the word of God so that it would seem that Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. Sorry, but that argument doesn't cut it. You see, the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, was translated into Greek in 250 BC. The translation is a known fact regarding its existence and what it contains. Copies have been in the greatest known library in the world, that is in Alexandria, Egypt. Copies have been there since 200 BC. And the letter from King Philadelphus, who commanded the translation to be made because the whole world spoke Greek. And he hired 72 Jewish scholars and put them in pairs of two. 36 pairs of two, and as history has it, all 36 pairs of two came up with the same translation, locked in a room. That is the Greek Septuagint, which so intrigued me so much, I spent 5 years translating it. I've got a copy in my office. When Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you've ordained strength. And that's not in my Bible. That started the ball rolling. Even Jesus quotes from it. Anyway, point is, You can't say Christians went in and changed the word, because it's written down 200 years before Christ. Also, the Dead Sea Scrolls contain the Greek Old Testament. They go back to 100 years B.C. Okay, so first, let's start with something written about 700 years before Christ was born. But we got to start here. Just take some average, ordinary people. Because you're an agnostic. Let's see. Maybe David could be the Messiah. Maybe Moses. Maybe Jesus. Maybe Barack Obama's your Messiah. Maybe John the Baptist. The odds of one person doing three of these is the odds of you hitting the lottery every week of your life until you're 85. How old do you run? Every week. Just three things. Remember, this is, we're not even talking about religion. We're talking about odds. Odds of one person doing these things. Let's start with Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. So, whoever the Messiah is, he's got to come from Bethlehem. All right, he's remained unscathed, even though it was written 300 years after he died. For the sake of argument, we'll leave him there. Moses, where was he born? Sorry, Mo. Jesus, unscathed. Barack Obama, let's just say, depending on his audience, maybe he'll say he was born there. Says he's American, he might as well be born in Bethlehem. So let's say, for argument's sake, Barack Obama survives prophecy number one, and he's born in Bethlehem. Maybe he was born in a manger. I don't know. I wasn't there. John the Baptist, where was he born? The hills of Judea? Let's, for argument's sake, we'll let him stay there. We'll even throw him there. Okay. David, Barack Obama, Jesus, John the Baptist. We got 4 out of 5 that made prophecy number one. Okay. Let's narrow it down a little. You, Bethlehem, and also, Herod was told this prophecy, remember? When the Magi showed up there and said, where is he? We have come to worship, where did they say? Where does he come from? And they quoted this to him. So Herod went and killed everyone under 2 years old in Bethlehem because of this prophecy. They knew the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. So Herod killed everyone 2 years and younger. And you, Bethlehem, though you're few in number, out of you will come one to me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from eternity. All right, from eternity? Sorry, Dave. You didn't make cut two. Jesus? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in the beginning. Anarche, anhologos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him and for him. He survives cut two. Barack Obama, sorry, buddy. You ain't from the beginning. You're off my list. John the Baptist, sorry. You see what I mean about odds? We only got one person left. We've only got to two. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. How many people? This is how you'll know the Messiah, when he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. There's three. There's three. and you've just hit the lottery every week for 70 some odd years. Matthew 21:1 is where that's fulfilled. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and said, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, 'The Lord's got need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So, Mr. Agnostic, the man Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, has fulfilled all of these things in advance.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure. My victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. O ruler of all.